Welcome to the Do Your Good podcast series. In this podcast series, you'll hear from me, Sybil, and other experts in the field to help you make your money matter and make a huge difference in the world. I come to you with over two decades of experience as a person who's helped donors give away over $45 million in donations, both large and small. This podcast series is meant to give you the tools you need to be effective in the world and fund nonprofits and issues that you care about with meaning and purpose, and to make a true, deep difference in the world. Hello, everybody. I am delighted to introduce you to season five of my podcast series. Season five is especially for my nonprofit friends to help you hone your fundraising pitch. I did a live training that was 8 months long every first Monday of the month, and it was super popular with my email subscribers. I had such wonderful interactions from nonprofits, and in each training, I focused in on one of seven key elements that I think you need, my nonprofit friend, to be successful in honing your fundraising pitch. So what I'm doing now for this season five of the podcast is I've heavily edited the live training, and I also offer some of my own special interjections in the middle of the training to guide you and point you in the direction of even more resources, so that you in the podcast universe, in the nonprofits who attend to listen to my podcast, you can get the benefit of my training. If you're a donor that likes to listen to my podcasts, please share this with your favorite nonprofit, because this training is geared to help them raise even more money. And I'm sure as a donor, you want your nonprofits to succeed. And a couple things to note as you listen to this live training. I do interject occasionally because sometimes the video version of a live training doesn't translate that well into the podcast world. And so I interject to sort of help guide the conversation. I also have wonderful assistants that help me. And so sometimes you'll hear a voice that you don't recognize, and that is my assistant coming in to make sure that the questions that the audience are asking is coming into the flow of the training and the conversation. Hey, everybody. Welcome to my training. And today we're going to talk about how to explain scale in your pitch so that donors understand your worth. So this is my Be Real training series. And in this training series, I'm going to help you learn to unlock a donor's mind so your cause becomes theirs. So welcome, everybody. And please, 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 I want you to use that chat feature liberally and also the Q&A feature. So if you can, write your name down, where you're from, and the organization you might represent, that would be wonderful. I'd love that. Please put that in the chat. I love knowing who's there and everything else listening to me. Because these webinars are funny. I can't see your faces. I can't see you. So I'm just talking into a screen. So the chats are really important for me to know who you are. And I want to help you. I created this training series because I've seen what it takes to do a really good pitch and raise a lot of money. And I've also seen my nonprofit friends make terrible mistakes that end up leaving where you leave money on the table. And I just don't want that to be you, which is why I created this training series, is to help you all. Because I care so much about your success. I love what you do. All right, so what you're going to learn today. First, we're going to do a quick refresh of the seven elements to include in a fundraising pitch. And today, we're going to go into a deep dive on one of those seven elements, which is how to explain scale so your funder understands your worth. So here's the refresh. Seven elements to include in the pitch. You have to have a good success statement, a good problem statement. You have to explain your role super well. You need to explain how your work is leveraging other dollars, how the donation is going to leverage those other dollars. You have to explain how your work is scalable, how other people are copying your work. It's so important that they're copying it in other places. You have to explain well your other collaborators. Nobody does this alone. Who are the other nonprofits you're working with? And you have to have a crystal clear budget that funders will understand, so they understand how their donation makes a difference. As a reminder, I am now digging deeply into all seven of these elements every first Monday of the month. So I've already done the success, problem, role, leverage, and today is scale. All of those are posted on the website. And then in April, I'm going to talk about how to discuss your collaborators well. And then in May, I'm going to talk about how to do a crystal clear budget. Okay? So definitely keep logging in if you haven't done so in the past, and also let others know about these training series. Like I told you before, I had over 200 people register for this. So I'm feeling really excited that this is something you all want to talk about. Okay, so let's explain what scale is, because it's a little bit esoteric and it's not the kind of thing that many of you actually include in your pitch right now. When you do, though, oh my gosh, you kick it out of the ballpark in terms of, actually, you know what? I shouldn't say kick it out of the ballpark. Hit it out of the ballpark. Right, Amanda? Is that the right? That's the right one, right?
Yeah, hit it out. I mean, I guess kick it out of the soccer field.
Yes,
but exactly. I don't think that's a good thing. I think that stops.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Right on. But if you do this right, it is really great. Okay. So first of all, let's explain what scale really is. How is your program copied by others? This might be counterintuitive because in a competitive world, you don't necessarily want your stuff copied, right? You want to like have ownership over it. But in the nonprofit world, when there's very little money going around, it's really tough. And you're creating these innovative programs. You actually want your programs to be copied by others, and donors will be really interested in funding you if they think that your program is solving a major societal problem in a way that no one else has thought of yet. Now, you might say, oh my gosh, Sybil, I've been around the block. Like, what idea is really a new idea? And you might be right. There's a lot of people who are thinking of similar things, that kind of thing. The thing is that there is a lot of interesting innovation that you in your field, you're doing it, right? And so don't have imposter syndrome. Don't think that everyone else is doing it. Think about how you're doing it in a unique way. Think about why you decide to get up in the morning, every morning, and work on the program you're working on. You're not working on it because a million other people are doing it. You're working on it because you have a great idea of how to solve a problem that you feel like, even though a lot of people are trying to find solutions, you have a creative solution for it. So that's what this is all about. And you want that creative solution to be copied in the future, right? You want to be someone who's super supportive of making the societal change happen and have people copy it everywhere. That also means that funders will want to fund you because you're the center of the spear. You're the important person, organization. You're doing that great program. Okay, so that's the explanation of scale. I really wanted to get into this, like I said, because a lot of you might be saying, huh, why did Sybil put scale in here? What the heck does scale even mean? This is what I mean. Okay. The next thing is let's do a little plug and play template to help sort of ground this a little bit.
Hello, everybody. This is Sybil. I want to interject here for a second. The first thing I want to tell you is that you can find the plug and play template and more resources about scale on my website. I've written up a little blog post that accompanies this live training that I've recorded for you. So check that out on my website. The other thing I want to tell you is I just want to underline something here. I'm listening to my live training, and I want to explain that the importance of scale is that I want you to really think about the unique, interesting, different thing you're doing that then other people will look to and they'll want to copy it. And so that means that the thing you're doing scales up and it's replicable. So more and more people want to do it because it's different and not what everybody else is doing. And if you can really emphasize this kind of work, your unique role in society, what are you doing and how can it be copied by others because it hasn't been thought of yet? That's the critical thing. I just wanted to say that again because in the live training, I say it, but I'm worried that you may not really be getting it.
So to explain scale, here's the plug and play template. Our work is gaining traction at the statewide, regional, and national level in the following ways. Okay, so in the simplest form, this is how you talk about it. Our work is gaining traction at the statewide level, or statewide, regional, or national level in the following ways.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I have lots more to talk about in this live training about how to talk about scaling your work. Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune in to my podcast series, September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
You can just think about that. How is your work getting traction that way? Let's dig more deeply into it, though. Here's the checklist to think about it. How are you being innovative? Do you have a clear solution to a major problem? And a bonus, a real bonus, is has your program already been recognized by a major philanthropic institution, a government institution, some other institution? Has it been recognized as a pilot where that institution has said, oh my gosh, this is such an innovative program that it is something that we want to invest in because it could be replicated by the governmental institution or others. Okay, we're going to get into this in detail. First, we're going to talk about innovation. Then we're going to talk about how to talk about your clear solution to the problem. And then we're going to talk more about the bonus, the pilot program. Hey, Amanda, are there any questions? If there aren't, it's okay. But I'm like prompting.
I have a question. Nobody,
yes, please.
So my question is, and you might be talking about this coming up, so you might
I'm going back. I'm going back to the checklist.
For a minute, but
all right.
My question is, what if nobody is copying you yet? So you're doing great work, or maybe you're just starting out. It's just that maybe the way you're doing it isn't completely new. Nobody's copying you, or maybe you're basing it on what somebody else was doing in the first place. So I was thinking of, I support a lot of like small animal rescues, but they all kind of do the same sort of thing. So like, what if you're not kind of like revolutionary in what you're doing?
I absolutely love that question. And I totally am glad you're asking it, because I have a discussion after we go through the checklist. I also, with scale, unlike the other pitch elements that I have, I do have a little bit of a section in this presentation where, as you know, where we're going to talk about sometimes your program may not be one that you feel you can directly pitch as something that has that's scalable at the moment. But what I want to challenge you all on is I think that there's a lot more programs out there that are scalable than not. Okay. So you're absolutely right. When you do this in the assessment and you might come to the conclusion that my program isn't scalable, it's just really cool locally and where it is, that's totally fine. But I want everyone to go through this exercise to see if the answer is, yeah, it really is just local and a million other people are doing it and there's nothing really new and innovative about what I'm doing, but it's still really important, versus, there's some things that I'm doing in this program that are actually pretty innovative and I should pull those out. And these things are things that could be scalable. So I'm going to talk to my funders about how these are scalable items. And then I'm going to start going out and trying to get people to copy them and to try to think about it that way. And I'm going to talk to my donors about how I think these can be elevated to items that are innovative and are a clear solution to a problem that no one else has thought of. Does that help, Amanda?
It does. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. And I'll keep talking about that in this presentation right after we go through the checklist. Okay. So innovative. Does your program have a new way to solve a major societal problem? A new way, interesting way, creative way, okay? And this is where I want to warn you, don't get imposter syndrome here. Even though you're living it every day and you probably are in your circle of community, your community is sort of thinking through all these things, sometimes you might not think you're being that innovative because all the people that you're friends with, the people you're working with, they're all thinking about the same stuff you are. And you're like, I don't know how innovative I am. Take a step back and think about what you're doing and what makes you excited about it. And it's very likely that the project you're working on actually is way more innovative than you think. Okay. And in the chat, please write down your innovative ideas. Nothing is a bad idea. Put them down. Write them down. Okay, let me give you some examples just to get your mind flowing around what I mean by this. These are examples where I've mixed up the facts just a little bit because I like to be anonymous with my information, just so that I'm never pulling anyone out here too much. But here's some innovative examples. One example is somebody has there's this program with a revolving low interest loan fund for small businesses or landowners to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the reason this is innovative is that there's right now, there's a lot of money coming in the United States from the federal government to fund programs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. However, that funding is a little bit slower to reach the ground because of important processes that the federal government's going through. And so innovative nonprofits have become intermediaries to support organizations that can really do good work on the ground to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but they may not be able to get access to the federal money right away. So these intermediary C3s are really helping facilitate the transfer of funds to the smaller nonprofits from the federal government in a way, a gap they're filling in a way that really is pretty innovative. Example number two, this nonprofit offers a solution to allow rural Americans access to broadband services. And the way that they were doing this, which is really interesting, is there's a program where the government is funding some really good and important irrigation efficiency programs across the country. And in doing that, they're spending a lot of time accessing making more efficient water access. But they're also then lining with broadband cable the same route. Okay. And so they're able to get broadband out to some of these communities that if all the conversation was just about how do we get the broadband out there without already having a way to run the cable, they never would have gotten them before. But it's like two bang for the buck. It's cheaper. It's great. It helps people in two ways. And so that's the kind of innovation I'm talking about.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because I have lots more to talk about in this live training about how to talk about scaling your work. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
I hope that in hearing this, you say to me, Sybil, I'm doing some of these things. It didn't feel so amazing and different because I already am doing them, but these are really cool. These are really interesting solutions. You don't have to be like the most amazing silver bullet. This is like really cool stuff that helps people all the time, every day. Okay, so let's talk about the clear solution to a major problem. These are clear outcomes that make it easy for others to follow and copy. Okay, so let's do a couple of examples here. And again, I mix up facts a little bit. So example number one, so here's a clear solution to a problem. Okay, as charging stations for electric vehicles are built across the country, it's important that instructions for use are offered in multiple languages. Right now, it's not quite as accessible to people who are speaking multiple languages to be able to really get how the new system is working. Programs that effectively outreach to diverse communities are critical to allow for equitable access to the transition to a new way of powering our vehicles. So again, this is a clear solution, and the nonprofit is working really hard on making sure that there are good communication strategies to connect the dots here. Because the funding that's coming in to create these charging stations, it's really focused on the practicality of like creating the stations themselves, but it didn't really focus as much on reaching diverse communities with multiple languages. So that's this nonprofit came in to fill that gap. Okay, example number two, leaders from the tech industry are creating futuristic models that show how a mega fire, which are these big wildfires that are really impacting communities, they're showing how specific areas are more vulnerable, okay, to megafires, so that this allows then local fire chiefs to create fire safe communities specifically in locations most likely to be impacted before a fire hits. So it keeps the conversation focused on the most vulnerable locations and makes sure that the limited funding available goes to those places. This is another like clear solution to a major problem. Okay. All right. So here's a special bonus. If your program is recognized as a pilot program by a government or philanthropic institution, if this is happening for you, do not put it under the rug. Be sure that you promote it and make sure others know that you've been identified as a pilot. Okay, let me give you some examples. Nonprofit X was founded by Indigenous youth, and their program is now the model that major philanthropic organizations use to determine whether and how they fund other programs across the country. And this program is specifically focused on Indigenous youth who are supporting their community and talking with elders about water and water issues and what's most important to the community around water. And the stories that they're generating are then impacting how decision makers approach water conservation and access to water. Okay. And then example number two, I'm using water as an example, two examples for this one. Example number two, place-based water planning efforts in local rural communities to tackle drought are identified and funded by state water resources agencies. Okay, so those agencies identify it. This then catalyzes additional funding from private philanthropy and federal government because the state vetted the programs and gave them their seal of approval. And so those water planning efforts, those communities were then able to go out and advertise their amazing work. And the state wants this to work out because they've also identified them as important. Okay, so while you're thinking about scale, try to think about if any of your programs could potentially get identified as pilots. Okay, mistake to avoid. Don't forget to assess your programs to see if they can scale. Don't have imposter syndrome. I am pretty sure that most of you have some amazing programs that are scalable and that are amazing, okay? And this is getting to Amanda's question, square peg and round hole. You might decide that your work is important, but it just can't scale. That's totally fine. But before coming to this conclusion, really ask if your work can scale and go through my suggested exercises, because I suspect that you'll have more success at figuring out key programs that you can elevate as scalable more than you'd think. Okay, so here's a review and here's the checklist. Are you being innovative? Do you have clarity of purpose? Do you have a pilot program? And the top mistake to avoid is you fail to do the analysis to determine if your program can scale. So don't forget to do that.
Yes. So we do have some questions coming in. So I'm going to go with one that addresses something you were just talking about. And everyone else who has asked questions, we will get to you. So Arnold asks, what do you mean by a pilot program?
Okay. I love that. Thank you, Arnold. Okay. So Amanda, the question is, what is a pilot program? Is that really what that I want to be sure that I'm going to answer this? Okay. So a pilot program is when, let's say there's a major challenge that you're trying to overcome with your nonprofit. Okay. So I'm going to do a hypothetical. And you need to tell me if this is going to work for you, Arnold. And if you still have a question, then we'll go back to it. Okay. So let's say that your nonprofit is working on houselessness and you are very concerned because there is a really big challenge, especially after COVID in the city that you're working in, and houselessness has become such a crisis. Okay, so you're really worried about it, and your nonprofit in general is tackling that challenge in the city that you are working. So it's a very geographically focused thing. Okay, so that's just in general. I'm setting the stage. Okay, so now what's a pilot program? Okay, so you've been working on houselessness for a really long time, but then the federal government or the state government says, okay, it's out of control. We need some really interesting, innovative programs that tackle this challenge. We need to, in addition to just giving resources to folks and helping them transition to housing and all of the wraparound services that are needed, we feel like there needs to be some innovation here, okay? And so we in the government, we're saying we need a nonprofit to have some really creative strategy around tackling houselessness that we haven't really thought of before. So you raised your hand, Arnold, and let's say you're working on the issue of houselessness, and you say, I've got an innovative new idea. How about if we, you can pick what the innovative idea is there. How about if we do a huge special online fundraising strategy where we are, maybe one of the biggest issues is to support people to transition, to be able to, there's actually a nonprofit that does this, that supports people to have access to job services in a new way. So they can go in and they can get interview training. They can get suits and things that they need to be able to interview. They can get a good shower and everything. And so they can be really professional. And if they want to go in and get a job, they can do that in a really effective way. And so you're being innovative. And this is a program then that the state absolutely loves. They're like, this nonprofit is doing something really, really great. And the state points to you and identifies it as a key winning strategy, a pilot program where they want to support you in that. If that happens, then you can promote that to your funders and you can say, look at what we're doing. The state loves this. They've identified it as a key feature of what we're doing. And it's innovative. It's different. It's out of the box thinking. Arnold, did that help? And if not, definitely tell me and I can do another example.
Nothing from Arnold yet. We'll give him a minute to see if he needs more info.
Okay, great.
What I'm getting from this, and you can correct me if I'm interpreting it incorrectly, is that a pilot program is kind of like a test case. So you're kind of proving that this thing works.
Yes, exactly. Okay. This is why I have you on. You're my wonderful, my wonderful explainer. Terrific. But what I've found in my own experience with nonprofits is if they, a lot of times you all are doing innovative, out-of-the-box, entrepreneurial things that you want others to copy. It's like open source, right? You want others to copy because it's not something that you could do at a national level yourself. But if a donor funds what you're doing, then the concept will get copied exponentially. This also leads to my point about square peg and round hole. Like the key thing to ask is whether your work is scalable. If you don't think it is, or if there's a reason, for any reason, that you don't think you want others to copy it, then take a different path. This is the one out of the 7 pitch elements. It's the one that I want you to assess, and you might decide you don't want to do it for a variety of reasons. This is why I love these questions, because it's really important to flesh this kind of thing out.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoyed making it for you. So if you want to find out more about what I have to offer, please check out www.doyourgood.com and learn more ways to make your money matter. Until next time, do your good and be well.